Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us your word. You have given us your church, and we are so grateful. We pray this morning that we might hear from you, a word from your spirit to us, a word for our hearts and for our lives. We are ready, and our ears and our hearts are open. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the gifts of preaching with you this summer while Hugh is away on vacation is getting to share bits of my life and getting to hear bits of yours. It really is, to me, one of the ultimate gifts of pastoral work, getting to witness another person's life and getting to share in that. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing yourselves with me here in the service and afterwards in Lemonade on the Lawn. It is truly a gift. One of the other gifts of being a pastor is getting to witness marriages. They are a sweetness for sure, though they certainly come with their own challenges of planning and handling families and all of that thing. And I was recently talking with a young woman who's engaged. She and her fiance are planning a 2019 wedding, and they are in the throes of planning, trying to book a venue, deciding on all the details. They are a very sweet 21 years old each. After my conversation with her, I was mulling over what they would be doing when they got married. In just months, they'll stand before each other with their families and friends, a pastor and their church, and God. And they'll make promises to each other. They'll stare into each other's eyes in probably a sleep-deprived haze from all the wedding planning, and they will make these promises. They'll take each other as their spouse. They'll take each other to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, to love and to cherish until death parts them. They'll put a ring on each other's finger, a symbol of eternal commitment, and they'll be pronounced husband and wife, and they'll waltz out of the church into their future together. Their future that is probably a bit unknown, who knows what will come, and regardless of hell, high water, or just plain ordinary life, they have committed themselves to a vision of unity and a vision of love. And they will have to live into this new calling of marriage on their life. Sometimes we receive a call that we can understand, even to some degree, something like marriage. They can understand it. But perhaps they will only fully understand this calling that they have entered into as they live into it. There's something about a call that we only fully grasp when we live it. Our passage today begins with Paul's urging that the people in Ephesians, the Christians at that church, would live a life worthy of the calling that they have received. We've been reading over Ephesians in the last few weeks, and the vision that God has for the church there, it's a tall order, and it's not an easy one. It's a vision of unity also, where through the grace of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, humanity is united with God and united with one another, and like the unity expressed in the vows of marriage, it's that tall order, and not an easy one. Perhaps for some of us, when we considered what it meant to be Christian, we were considering ideas like faith and trust. Perhaps like those in the church of Ephesus, they were most likely adult converts, Gentiles, who came to the faith later in life, not having grown up in it. They made a decision to follow Jesus, and that might be something that you share. It was a decision of mental agreement to believe in God and the grace that Jesus Christ gives to us to forgive our sins and give us a new life. And in that sense, the church, and it didn't really figure into what it meant to be part of God's family. Any sense of calling that we received was from that decision, and it was simply one of belief. And I wonder if this is the problem that is facing the church in Ephesus. Perhaps they didn't realize that putting their trust in Jesus was a lot more than just mental agreement, a lot more than just belief. It could possibly have more significant effects on their life and how they were to live. So Paul urges them to live a life worthy of the calling that they've received. He doesn't dispute their faith. He doesn't say that they're not Christians. He simply says that living as Christians and living as the church is bigger than their current reality. Now, whenever I speak to people who have been married for some time, I like to ask them if their love has changed over the years, or if they love their spouse in the same way that they did on the day they made their vows. Nearly every time, I receive a bit of a laugh and usually somewhat of an eye roll, as they say, yes, I still love my spouse. But my love today is so different than it was then. I thought I knew what love was, but I really had no idea. As these couples lived into their vows, as they lived into the love that they confessed, they were changed. And they were challenged by the better and worse, richer and poorer. Their love changed and grew. Where they were once babies in their love for one another, they lived their vows and matured into a full picture of love. And in the same way, Paul is urging these Christians to grow in their lives with God, to grow into being the church, to live their calling as a people united with God and united with one another. Because it's in living their calling that they will mature in their journeys with God. It's only in living into their confession that they will grow up. Like any relationship, our life as Christians is lived in the mundane and the ordinary days. Perhaps to many people's chagrin, the church is, frankly, an unbearably ordinary place, filled with ordinary people and ordinary walls. But what is different is that this is Christ's body, and Christ is our head, leading and guiding. I really like this picture of the church that we get in our passage, with Christ as the head and the church as the body. It reminds me of kids who are growing up. You know, some of them have already grown into adults, while other parts of them still have yet to arrive. And in the same way, Jesus' vision for the church as one of unity with God and unity with one another is a big vision. There's parts of it that have already arrived, and there's other parts that are still trying to catch up, that are still growing into the vision that God has. But God's intent for us is to no longer be infants who are tossed back and forth this way and that way, blown by the waves of life here and there by every wind of teaching or scheming, but that we would grow, become mature, live into our journeys of faith, and grow up as we live in our confession. Paul describes this big vision and encourages the Christians into unity with these words. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is it. And just as on our relationships, there are no shortcuts to this life of unity with God and with one another. There's no shortcuts to a mature faith that walks in step with God's Spirit. As I was studying this week, one of the commentators, Eugene Peterson, shared this story. He and his wife were walking on vacation, and a bicyclist goes flying past, stops suddenly, and turns around. And the bicyclist walks up to them and says, "How long have you been married?" And they're like, 33 years? He's like, "I knew it. You walk in perfect step together." They got a little self-conscious after that, thinking, oh, okay, well, let's keep this going. And they realized that it was only as they lived their life together, as they lived into their love, that that perfect step happened. Not so much when they were so conscious about it. There's no shortcut to walking in step with the Lord. There's no shortcut to becoming humble and gentle, patient, and bearing with one another through life. There's no shortcut for the church becoming a body in which God flows throughout everything we do and say. But there is grace. Grace for the journey. And we've got that in abundant supply. One of the graces that God gives to us on the journey of maturing in our life with God is one another. The unbearably ordinary lives that we all share are considered a gift of grace from God. Our passage says that God has given us people with an assortment of gifts, an assortment of talents and callings that are to be used for building up the community. Have you ever considered that you have an assortment of gifts and talents, and that God has called you to use them for the church? In the journey of maturing in our faith, there simply are no single solitary spiritual giants. Just us, just the church, committed to Christ, committed to one another, using all that God has given us, all the grace, to journey together into faith so that we might become mature, growing into the body that God has given to us, growing into Christ who is our head. From him, the whole body joined together and held together by every single supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It simply will not do for the arm, let's say, to grow faster or slower than the rest. We all must grow up together. Journeying together is something that we are made for in the life of faith. But we aren't the only ones. Sequoia redwoods are said to be among the largest trees in the world, growing upwards of 300 feet tall and 25 feet in diameter. And yet, their roots only grow 6 to 12 feet down underground. And it's because their roots have grown together, intermingled. They are literally holding each other up, sharing nutrients together, intertwined, dependent on one another, not only to survive, but also to thrive and to get larger. We are like that redwood forest. Our roots are meant to grow together, intertwined, holding each other up in the journey of faith and the journey of life. We may have at one time made vows of faith that we knew nothing about, that we had no idea what we were really saying. But we learn that confession as we live into it together. There's something about a calling that we can only understand as we live into it. So may we journey together, holding each other up, nourishing one another by sharing our faith and our love. There are no shortcuts. But there is an abundance of grace for the journey of growing up. For an abundance of grace for the journey that's given to each of us as we work together with God in this world. Amen.